Yes, we do say thank you. We say thank you, Father, for every person who's ever sacrificed their life for us to have the freedoms that we do today. We pray a blessing on their generational line for that sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Lest we forget, you know, we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget. It's easy on Memorial Day to grill your dogs and burgers and have your potato salad and your sweet tea if you're at my house and forget. So we wanted to take a moment. Roger found that video for us, and I was really appreciative because it summed it up. So if you lost an immediate family member during a time of battle, I would love for you to stand up, but I would also love for anyone to stand up who has ever served in our armed forces because you were willing to lay down your life. So can we have all those people stand up? If you lost a father, mother, sibling, child, and all those who've served in our armed forces, stand up, please. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. And just because I could, I brought you from my favorite bakery, either a chocolate chip muffin or an apple cinnamon muffin over here. So come and get it now or come and get it after church. It doesn't matter to me. If you're hungry now, you can nosh while I speak. Just saying. But if you want to wait, that's fine too. So chocolate chip, apple cinnamon. Thank you for your service, all of you who have served. So today we're going to finish out our theme of grow with a message title called Grow in Influence. Glenn and Barb, it's so good to see you today. Tiffany's parents are here with us. Thank you for being with us today. Awesome having you. Grow in influence. God created us to influence our environment. He actually created us with a desire to want to influence those around us. And in some Christian circles, it's frowned upon. Like you think, oh, they're trying to be all that, you know? I don't think that's the case at all. I think God actually put a seed inside of us that we want to influence people. Zane, you influence me today. I don't know if you expected to have an emotional reaction when you got up there or not, but it was powerful. I could feel the Holy Spirit on you. Very strong, very, very strong. You influenced me today. If you're not getting here at 10:30, I feel sad for you because you're missing out on golden nuggets from people in our congregation. Like, it's amazing. He didn't say anything I haven't heard before, but there was something in his words that was powerful. He was influencing me and anyone else who heard him, right? We're growing in influence at Oak River. I looked up the meaning of influence. And I found it fascinating because it says the act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. Isn't that interesting? I find that fascinating that we can influence people without trying to control them. Without trying to manipulate them, we can influence people. So how can we grow in influence? How can we grow? I mean, I think it was Augustine that said, I didn't plan this, but it came to me. I think it was Augustine that said, witness at all times, if necessary, use words. Right? Some of us are real good with the word factor. We're not so good with the influencing without words. And I think that God is calling us at Oak River to grow in influence. And I'm really glad it's Family Worship Sunday because kids and youth, you have more influence than you know. From experience, you have more influence than you know. The first point, if we're going to grow in influence, we need to fill you up. You need to fill you up. Let's put it that way. Fill you up. Because it's family worship, I have a little prop, you know. Gotta have fun with props. Don't got to, just want to. If you're going to influence people, you have to fill you up first. How do you fill up? Well, this little box fills up that way with power. With power. Fill you up. Fill you up. Fill you up. That little light box is not illuminated unless it's plugged in, right? So we're going to share a scripture today from 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 8 in the Message. It's the story of David, and I think this is a powerful story. And I have actually looked on this story many times when I was feeling in the doldrums, you know, when I was feeling in need of encouragement. 3 days later, David and his men arrived back in Ziklag. Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They tore Ziklag to pieces, then burned it down. They captured all the women, young and old. They didn't kill anyone, but drove them like a herd of cattle. By the time David and his men entered the village, it had been burned to the ground, and their wives, sons, and daughters all taken prisoner. David and his men burst out in loud wails, wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, widow of Nabal of Carmel, had been taken prisoner along with the rest. And suddenly David was in even worse trouble. There was talk among the men, bitter over the loss of their families, of stoning him. Now, I've had some rough days, but I've never been threatened with stoning. Has anyone in here been threatened with stoning? I hope not, right? I've never had it that bad. I've had some bad days, but I've never had it that bad. So what did David do? David said, I'm going to fill myself up here. That's what he did. In the next verse, it says, David strengthened himself with trust in his God. I see it this way, literally. I see it this way. He plugged in. He plugged in. That's exactly what he did. He strengthened himself. Some translations say he encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I love the connection that we get at Oak River with each other. I love that I can text people and say, I'm having a rough day. I could use some extra prayers today. I love that people can text me and say, I'm having a rough day. I could use some extra prayers. I love that. But sometimes you just have to figure out how to get plugged in to power. One-on-one, you and God. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do. But then it doesn't end there. It says, he ordered Abiathar, the priest, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod so I can consult God. Abiathar brought it to David. Then David prayed to God. Now this is powerful to me too. Shall I go after these raiders? He said to God. Can I catch them? I find it fascinating that in his emotional turmoil, he didn't just say, we're going. He first strengthened himself in the Lord. Then he asked God, what should I do? Should I go after these guys? Some guys wouldn't have done that. They would have been like, they have my wife, they have my daughter, they have my son, I'm going. Right? David said, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. Then I'm going to consult God and ask him what I should do. The answer came, go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. Yes, you'll make their rescue. So just for fun today, just for fun, I've literally wanted to do this for 14 years and I get to today. I hope it goes well. So excited. Take out your phone in church. Yes. take out your phone. We're going to do a little poll, and the results are going to show up on the screen. Okay? What fills you up? Text that number, 22333, Oak River Church, or Oak River C 374, and then you can join. Then you can text your response, what fills you up? Take a couple of minutes, not long. Unfortunately, only the first 25 responses get entered today because we are on the free sample version of poll. So you text 22333, and then you type in the message Oak River C 374 to join the site. Then you can text your response, what fills you up? You got the directions? Oh, leave them up there. Did we lose it? 22333 is who you text. Ah, there's one. His presence fills me up. Sports fill me up. I love it. I love it. Love. Burritos. Yes. Burritos. My kids. Music. My family. It's working for some people. Keep trying. Nature. Wonder if that was Gail. We call you Nature Gail, you know. Worship. The word. Yeah. Coffee. I love it. Worship. Praying the Psalms. That's a good one. That fills me up too. Those are awesome. His love. Cooking. If you'll give us your address, we will come over and let you love us. His presence. Friendship. My family. Aww. Oh, poll is full and no longer accepting responses. Beach. Family. Wow. Thank you for your input. While you have your phones out, silence them, please. Just make sure they're silenced. I loved hearing your responses. What fills you up? What fills you up? What plugs you into his power? Worship, his presence, family, his love. Those are the things that fill me up. Nature. Sometimes nature, God, famine, gymnastics. Oh, some more came. Good. Cookies and coffee, God, love. I love it. Gymnastics. If you don't mind admitting it, awesome. You're a gymnast, huh? That's cool. What's your favorite event? Beam? That's awesome. That's great. What fills you up? You know, we need to know ourselves. We need to know what fills me up. What is it that after I do this, I feel filled up? Right? What is it? What fills you up? Get filled up. Fill you up. Now, I think in my life, there's two things that I've learned that fill me up. Point A, I call table time. Table time. And it's not eating a burrito, although I like burritos. I like burrito bowls more than I like burritos, honestly. Those white tortillas, they explode. I don't know. I don't like the way they feel. But I like burrito bowls without the tortilla. But when I say table time, I don't mean that. I mean from Psalm 23:5 in the Passion Translation, it says, David says to God, you become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. If we're going to grow in influence, we need to be so full of God that it just spills out in every environment we're in. Not just on Sundays, you know. In every environment, on the bus, at school, on the way to school, on the bus, yes, even on the bus, yes, at work, yes, pulling weeds, yes. The other thing that fills me up, point B, is FaceTime. FaceTime, not the app. FaceTime with God. FaceTime with God. In Psalm 16, 8 through 11, it says, because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure, for you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption, for you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life. The path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you. That's FaceTime. When you, no matter what circumstance you're facing, no matter what you're going through, when you can settle yourself like David did and find a way to fill you up, table time, FaceTime, whatever that looks like, you will notice a difference in the way you see whatever it is you're going through. Graham Cook says, when you're going through something, you ask God two questions. Not why. Not why. That's not one of them. What promise do you want to reveal to me in this? And what provision do you have for me in this? Do you see how that shifts it all around? Instead of poor me, I'm going through this terrible thing, you know. Instead of that perspective, you turn it around and go, God, you've got some treasures for me in this. So can you show me what they are so I can fight well? That's so powerful. Point number two, let's add to our light box just for fun. Because when you start getting filled up, see, I tried to tape it because it slides. There we go. Look, no light, anything attached. At home, it was working perfectly, but this table seems to slide a lot. Come on, stay on. There we go. Whew, don't breathe on it. It's perfect. When we start getting filled up, we start shining on people around us, and they are drawn to our light. And then they get lit up, and they stay lit up, unlike my little box. You get the point, right? Point number two, go Big O. Who knows what that means? Come on, football fans. You don't know what that means? Go Big O? Thank you. What does that mean? Nope. Good guess. Not in my world. I'll put it that way. Maybe if I watch Ohio State. Yes. Go Big O means offense. My sons played football in high school, and they were on the offense. So whenever they got on the field, I'd be like, go Big O. Go offense. Go offense. I think many times in Christian world, Christendom, we think we're always on defense. We're always defending. We're defending what we believe. We're defending why we believe it. We're defending why we're right and they're wrong. We're defending all the time. And I think it's possible to be on the offense without being offensive. I think it's possible. How do you do that? You get lit up with the power of God. You see, when I'm full, I release. I don't perform. The moment I start needing something from you, it's corrupt. But if I'm full, I release. I don't perform. That's two different things. I'll tell you what I mean. Genesis 1:1-5 says, first this in the message. God created the heavens and the earth. All you see, all you don't see. I love this next sentence in the message. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, and inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird over the watery abyss. God spoke. Light. That's an offensive move. It's an offense move. He didn't hover over the earth and go, what a mess. What a big soup of nothingness. He said, light. I love that so much. And light appeared. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from dark. God named the light day, and he named the dark night. It was evening. It was morning, day one. And then in skip ahead a little bit, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, God spoke, let us, that's God, Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible. Not defensive, for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper. Reproduce. Fill earth. Take charge. Those are all offense words. Do you see that? It's not sit back and just passively wait until Jesus comes back. It's not that. Fill the earth. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. In Christ, we can, Jesus himself, many times said, I am the light of the world, I am the light of the world, I am the light of the world. And when he got ready to go back to heaven, what did he say? You are the light of the world. That's an offense move. Go big O. Go big O. We see it again in Acts 17, 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was deeply troubled when he realized the entire city was full of idols. So he got the heck out of Dodge. I can't be around here. This is too dark. It's too filled with evil. I have to leave. Wait, that is not what he said. It's not what happened. If you skip ahead to the next passage, it says, so Paul stood in the middle of the leadership council and he said this. He said, you bunch of heathen, what's wrong with you? You got idols everywhere. Wait, that's not what he said. I love what he says. He turned on the light. He didn't condemn. He turned on the light. Respected leaders of Athens, it is clear to me how extravagant you are in your worship of idols. That sounds positive, doesn't it? He would have been strung up by many Christians today as giving cotton candy messages. For as I walked through your city, I was captivated by the many shrines and objects of your worship. I even found an inscription on one altar that read, to the unknown God. He didn't curse the darkness. Don't expect darkness to act like light. Darkness is darkness. Don't expect anything else from darkness but darkness. Just flip on the light. He said, I have come to introduce to you this God whom you worship. Wow. He assumed they were worshiping the real, true, living God. Wow. Mind blown. Without even knowing anything about him, the true God is the creator of all things. He is the owner and Lord of the heavenly realm and the earthly realm, and he doesn't live in man-made temples. He supplies life and breath and all things to every living being. He doesn't lack a thing that we mortals could supply for him, for he has all thing and everything he needs. I just love the way Paul went on the offense here. He didn't go on the defense. He didn't come in and curse them and condemn them or try to escape as fast as he. I don't know if any of you were taught this, but I was really taught from a very young age that if I'm walking down the street and there's a tarot card reading shop over here or a witchcraft shop or a crystal, whatever, I should cross the street and walk on the other side. I don't know why. Is something going to jump on me that's more powerful than what I have? No. Greater is he that is living in me than he that is in the world. Instead, I should walk a little closer so a little bit of my light can jump on them. Don't be defensive. Go on the offense without being offensive. I love Paul's very clear demonstration of that here. Some of you might remember a few months ago, maybe 6 or 8 months ago, I shared a quote from Tinashe Lahray that said, God changed the lens for me. Instead of looking at the wound and becoming pain, I looked at the healer and became healed. Remember that quote? That's a powerful quote. Well, I just got another quote bomb from her this week. This is what she says about going on the big O. She says, we shift atmospheres. Listen to this. We shift atmospheres by creating something higher than the one that exists. When you're on offense, you have too much to be doing to spend time talking about what's happening in the shadows of the corners. When you're on offense, you're on mission. You're on point. My mission. What is your mission? My mission is to love as many people as I can, as purely as I can, into the kingdom of God. That's my mission. Right? Go big O. Point number three. I don't know if we can finish this or not. We'll try. That green. Ah. Yeah. Woo! It's a miracle. Yeah, I know. It's really ornery today. It was doing better than this at home. I don't know what happened. Maybe the tape doesn't like it. Yeah, that's all right. You get the point. It all does light up eventually. Kids, you can come play with it after church and see if you can get it to work right. Point number three, and the last point, is have patience. It was hilarious this week. I was remembering the song from my child. Well, maybe not my child. Maybe like my kid's childhood, where there's a little snail. Do you remember anybody sing this? Have patience. Yeah. Have patience. Don't be in such a hurry when you get... It's a low voice. Impatient. You only start to worry. Remember, remember that God has patience too. And think of all the times when others had to wait for you. Right? So I kind of toyed with the idea of pulling up that video on YouTube, but I knew we had a lot going on already, so I didn't. But the hilarious part to me was that I pulled it up, and I was singing in my office with the snail, having so much fun, right? And at the very end, where it's going, God has patience to... Guess how patience was spelled? Not correctly. P-A-T-I-E-N-T-S. And I howled in my office. I'm like, I have to have patience with people who post videos on YouTube without correct spelling. Like, love the world enough to get someone to spell check for you, please. If you're going to publish it and put it out there for the world, just spell correct. I'm not the greatest speller, but I have this thing called spell check. And I also have other people, I'll say, can you look at this to make sure it's right? Because patience was technically spelled correctly, just not the right kind, right? But then it's kind of funny because God does have a lot of patience too, spelled that way. We're all kind of a work in progress. When I was a senior in college, I was doing my student teaching, and I had this principal who met with me before I started my first day of student teaching, and he said, well, Mrs. Phillips, because I was married in my senior year, he said, well, Mrs. Phillips, he said, I want to tell you something that I tell all my student teachers. And I said, what's that? And he said, if you're the kind of person who needs immediate positive feedback in your job, you don't want to go into teaching. And I was like, okay. He goes, but if you can be patient, if you can stick it out and be patient, it's the most rewarding career you can imagine. But you have to have patience, because probably your eighth graders aren't going to look at you and go, you're the best ever. Probably not going to happen, you know, because they're in like a 7-year mood. It's okay. I was there too. I'm not throwing stones. I did it too. I was so thankful he gave me that advice. Because on those days where I was like, does no one notice how hard I'm working? Does no one notice how much I'm spending of my own money to create that bulletin board? Does no one notice my work? I would remember his words would echo in my head. And I'd be like, have patience, Sandy, have patience. Because when you're dealing with influence, sometimes you see immediate light come to you, and sometimes it takes a lifetime. Sometimes it doesn't even happen in your lifetime. It takes more than one lifetime for your impact to be noticed. We see this in Hebrews 11, 13, right after it gives this whole list of great people of faith. It says this, these heroes all died still clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised them. But they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. If we're going to grow in influence, we need to embrace something from afar, right? They all live their lives on earth as those who belong to another realm. They lived with an understanding that the influence that I have may not be seen or felt quickly. But I'm so convinced that it will be felt. Most of you know my father passed away in January very unexpectedly, and it was very painful, and it's still painful. But one thing I noticed, both at the funeral and in the months since then, they just honored him this week at the district council for the whole state of South Carolina, honored him for his work in ministry. His influence, I don't know if he really grasped the depth of his influence when he was on earth. But I believe he does now. You know? And I think we need to be patient. We need to have patience. Jen Matoda did the opener last week, and she gave 3 points of while you wait. So I just wanted to highlight them again. While you wait, worship, stand on God's promises, and share your burdens with each other. While you wait, worship, stand on God's promises, and share your burdens with each other. I'm convinced of this. Time plus faithfulness equals lasting influence. Lasting influence. I think there's a lot of people in this world today that have influence, and they have massive influence. They have 1 million followers on Instagram, right? But I don't know if it's lasting influence that lasts through this life into the next, you know. There are days when I have to look at my life and I have to say, you can't see a whole lot of fruit today, but I will trust that there will be fruit. There will be fruit. It takes time sometimes to see it. It takes time. Time plus faithfulness, not perfection, faithfulness. There's a difference because none of us are perfect, but your robe of righteousness fits you. It fits you well. Time plus faithfulness equals lasting influence. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. God, I thank you that you are calling us to grow in influence. You are calling us to light up so that other people are drawn to our light and then they get lit up. You are calling us to that. In the whole year, you're calling us to grow and shine. And so, God, I pray that we would stop cursing the darkness and we would light up with your goodness. We would light up with your love. We would light up with your faithfulness day after day after day after day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I would like to take a moment, if you don't mind. I was invited to speak this week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at a national conference for a denomination called the Evangelical Congregational Church. And it's in Pennsylvania, about 6 hours from here. But I'm going to be speaking to pastors' wives three times while I'm there. And this week, I really felt like the Lord said, have the elders come and pray over me and have you join in with those prayers. Because I was a pastor's wife for 23 years. I know what that is. And I feel like God wants to do something really significant for the individuals that I'll be speaking to and loving on. So if the elders and their spouses could come up and just say a prayer over me, I would appreciate it. I did not seek this out. I didn't pass out business cards anywhere, you know. But God, give that to Dave, would you? God really brought this to me. And so I just sense him in it. And I just want your prayers. So,
Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity. How you've chosen Sandy to step out. Step out in a place that only she can fulfill, of understanding, of compassion, all those things she carries so strongly in her heart, that there'll be a tangible anointing in that room by your Holy Spirit as she ministers the word of encouragement and edification, exhortation, comfort. That we ask right now that the hearts of those women would be open.
Yes.
There's wounded women there. There's tired women.
Yes.
So we just pray that they would experience your love.
Yes. Yes.
In a powerful and real way, Lord, that would bring healing to their lives, would bring new energy, new vision to their lives. We thank you that you've chosen Sandy to do this because that's what she carries. And we stand in agreement with her and believing for a supernatural encounter for these women in Jesus' name. Mm. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That's if you want to be in prayer during the week, that's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I think they're all morning sessions, but I'm not 100%. I can put on my Facebook if you want the times, because I don't know the times yet. I'll get told that on Tuesday night when I arrive. But just be in prayer for me. You know, I'm thankful for the way Dave prayed, because that's my heart. I really want to just hear from the Holy Spirit as I'm teaching, and so just pray for me during the week if you would. After the service, the parents of youth are meeting in the River Kids room, so that'll be hopefully about 15 minutes, so it's not going to be a long meeting, but we are meeting in the River Kids room. Next week, we start a new series, and it's perfect because we're going from grow right into shine, right? Kind of goes with the message today, shine. And then also next week, we have a River Life class. If you want to become a member, or you want to learn about what it would take to become a member, we have that class after service. But we do need to know in advance, because we order lunch for you, because lunch is provided. So if you could text the church like today, that would be helpful. The number is 440-248, it's on your program, 1311, okay?